Today's scripture reading will be coming from Romans 15, 1 and 2. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up.
It's great to have you with us this morning. We began last week talking about some things related to our mission as the church, that as a congregation of the Lord's people, it is our responsibility to be pillars and support of God's word, God's truth. That's what Paul told Timothy in his letter to Timothy. And as we look at this, the chart we mentioned last week, you'll notice that the church, in supporting the truth, does so through three avenues or three methods. And one is, of course, edification. The other is benevolence, and the other and evangelism. And we wanted to focus this morning on that first one, edification. Edification is simply a word that is somewhat of a compound word in the original language. One of the parts, oikos, is a word for a house, and the other is to build. And so literally the idea is to build a house. And you say, well, what does that have to do with edification? Well, it's a figure. It's a word used not literally but figuratively of building character, building a person's life, their faith, their relationship with God. And so we're involved in the idea then of building a house, building a spiritual life. And this morning we want to focus in on one primary passage. This found in the book of Ephesians in the fourth chapter, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 11. The passage deals is found in a section that deals with Christian unity, as you notice in verses 3 through 6, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and so on. And then we'll get down to verse number 11. The Apostle Paul begins by mentioning various gifts that Christ has given to his church. And so this is how the passage starts, what Christ has done for his church. And so beginning there in Ephesians 4 and verse number 11, he says, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to a measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's quite a passage there. Only two sentences in the English language, so it's kind of hard to keep your breath going there. But you know, he says a lot in that passage about the idea of edification. And we want to focus in on that a little bit this morning. Actually, in the book of Ephesians, there are at least two besides the bride and the bridegroom illustration, but two other analogies of the church that are important for our consideration. The first thing is this, that the church is a temple. And as we read that passage in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So the church is a temple. It is living. It is growing. And then the second analogy that's used in Ephesians is found in the passage we just read a moment ago. Speaking the truth in love, he says, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. Now, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now, the church is a temple, but the church is also a body. And in both cases, it is an organism that is living and growing, and that seems to be one of the important aspects of this. The building up of the body, the building up of the church, the growing temple, the growing body of Christ. This is the emphasis here. And so in our lesson this morning, we'll be simply looking at three essentials for the body of Christ to grow. Three essentials for building up or edifying. And this fits back into the mission of the church. As we support the truth, one of the pillars that supports the truth is edification. That's a very important part of our work as Christians. So when we think about this, the first essential is our diet. What is it that we eat? If somebody is a bodybuilder, I can almost feel certain that there is an emphasis on what you eat. It'd be hard to build up a strong body on a diet of cotton candy and ice cream with a few M&Ms thrown in once in a while. You might be able to survive, and it might be fun for a while, but eventually you become malnourished and not able to do much. So diet is a very important part of building up the body of Christ also. And diet is where Paul begins when he talks about building up the church in Ephesians chapter 4. Notice what he says there in verse 11. In describing his gifts to the church, what would Christ give to the church for which he died? It says here, he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Now, when you look at those areas, you might see four areas, you might see five areas. The last two, many think, are together, pastors and teachers. But whether it's four or five, you'll notice that in each case, these are those who are involved in presenting the Word of God in some way, shape, or form. The apostles and prophets, we have the benefit of what they have done in the inspired writings of the New Testament, because these were written by the hand of God through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you still have today evangelists and pastors, which is another word for elder or bishop, and teachers. So you have those still in the church today, but all of these is the diet that we are fed as Christians. It has to do with the Word of God. Why do we have these gifts? Look at verse number 12. Why do you have apostles? Why do you have evangelists representatively in God's Word? Why do you have I should have said apostles and prophets, but why do you have evangelists, pastors, and teachers today? Well, verse 12 tells us. It says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. You have these to equip the church for the work of building up the body of Christ. Later, he says, instead of being tossed about by every wind or wave of false doctrine or deceit, Paul says that as a result of this diet, as a result of this teaching, he says that you are able to speak the truth in love. And when we speak the truth in love, what happens? The results found in verse 15, that you may grow up in all aspects. And in verse 16, that you will see the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So it's very much about body building. Edification begins with the equipping of saints for the work of service. That's what Paul says. Where does edification start? Well, it begins with this diet. The Word of God, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the evangelists and teachers, all of that teaching that goes on to enable the saints, that's you and I, all of us together, Christians, all of us to be equipped for the work of service. so that the church can be built up. I think sometimes, of course, we get things a little bit out of order in reference to the building up of the body of Christ. But the purpose that God gave the church, or that Christ gave the church these gifts, is so that the church might be edified and built up, and that we as Christians, speaking the truth in love, will grow up in Christ. Now, I kind of maybe need to go back here a little bit here to the chart. If I can find it here. There it is. And look at the chart again and see that the church supports the truth by means of edification. And also that by means of the truth that that God builds up the church. So it goes both directions. The church supports the truth, but the truth, as it is taught to the church, builds up the church. So it goes in both directions. And you might think about Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, where Paul was talking to the elders of Ephesus. They met down at Miletus, and he was giving him sort of a last farewell address, so to speak. And in that passage, he says something very important. It's recorded for us by inspiration, so we might learn from it. He says, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." Which, what about that word? The word is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So Paul's not going to see him anymore, but he's leaving them in God's care and God's keeping. And not only that, he says, "And I commend you to the word of his grace." That's a way of describing the gospel, the word of truth, the word of his grace. That word is able to do a lot of things. It's living and active, Hebrews 4, verse 12. It is powerful unto salvation, Romans 1, 16. It is the word of God that is able to fully equip us into every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16. And I'm leaving you to this word. It's going to build you up and give you that inheritance. How so? When you allow it into your heart and you practice it in your life, it will give you the inheritance in Christ. You can't build up the body of Christ on a spiritual diet of candy and popcorn. You got to have a solid and a reasonable diet of God's word in order to be able to grow spiritually. That's what Jesus meant in Matthew chapter 4 when he said in verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." You might like fellowship meals and dinner on the grounds and eating each other's homes and all of that kind of thing. And that's wonderful. That's a form of fellowship where we get together and share our lives with one another. But the thing that will get us to grow spiritually, the beginning point, the crux of the matter is the Word of God himself. Not entertainment, not socialization, not political aspects of it all. It is feeding on the Word of God, because that is what gives life to our souls. And so the first thing we mention here has to do with our diet. The first essential is diet. Now, find out where the second one is here. And the second one is focus. Not only do we need to have the right diet, we need to concentrate on our focus. What is it that we are looking for? When you're getting ready to build something, isn't it nice to have a picture of what it is you're building? Maybe you're putting a puzzle together. Maybe you want to have a picture on the box to tell you what it's going to look like. Well, spiritually speaking, we need the diet from God's word, but we also need the focus of what we're going to be looking like as a church and as individuals in that church as a result of feeding upon the word of God. And the focus is this. The focus is Jesus. That's what we wanted. That's why we call it the church of Christ, the church that belongs to Christ. That's why we should give him preeminence or first place in everything, according to what Ephesians chapter 1 says in verse 18. But look at our passage again, this time in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11. He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service of the building up of the body of Christ. Now notice this, until the building up of the body of Christ, until, this is the focus then, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's a lot of words and a lot of verbiage in there. When you're talking about the fullness of the faith here, and you're talking about the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure that belongs to the fullness of Christ, but putting that all together, you're talking about we want to develop maturity so that we might look like Jesus, not outwardly, but inwardly, that we might develop the likeness of Christ in the knowledge of Him in every way. The opposite of that is described in verse 14. No longer, this is where we were. This is where we're starting from, maybe where we were in the past, but we're trying to get over to this, the fullness of knowledge and measure the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're trying to get there, but not as children who are tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. We don't want to be those who are just bouncing along here and bouncing along there, but we want to have focus. We want to have a drive in our life that says, this is what I want to be. This is what I want to do. I want to look like Jesus. I want to develop a Christ-like spirit and attitude in my heart. That's the compelling drive of the church collectively, as well as us as individuals. And until we're grounded in the Word of God, that Christ has given us that Word, and until we are able to accept it and to grow in that knowledge and develop that maturity as a result of that, we're not going to grow in His likeness. And as long as the church is about just having bingo parties and fun and entertainment and never really getting into the Word of God and accepting the Word of God and practicing in our lives, we're not going to change ourselves, and nor are we going to change anybody else. It's about the diet and then the focus upon God and His Word. Now, Peter says something a little differently, same thing a little differently, in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 18. Near the end of his second book, he said, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." But grow in the grace and knowledge. Grow in the favor of God. Grow in the strength that God provides. But grow in the knowledge, not just intellectually, but also life knowledge. Taking that in and being a doer of the Word and practicing in your life. Grow as Christians. God is never satisfied just for us to kind of be there, to kind of be here, to kind of exist, to kind of go through the motion, so to speak, to remain in a level, static place. But what God wants us to be doing is to be growing in our knowledge and in our favor with Him. We need to grow closer to Jesus every day. And Ephesians 4:15 says it this way, "Grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ." Grow up in all aspects. Be a well-rounded Christian. Develop different aspects. And sometimes that helps as we go through different circumstances in life. But we've got to grow up in all aspects. And so the focus must always be on Christ. What was Jesus like? What would Jesus do? How can I be more like Him? In fact, the Bible says as much in Colossians 1, verse 28. Paul talking about his labor and striving in the gospel. And he says that his goal, his focus, is to make every person complete in Christ. We're in Christ, but now we're growing to completeness, as it were. Our goal is to be fashioned after the form and likeness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Romans 8, verse 29. We're trying to be transformed into that image, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 18. He describes it as a growth that is the result of looking into a mirror. And I think the mirror here, God's Word, Christ's likeness. and then growing from one degree of glory to the next. So make sure your concept of edification is Christ-centered. What does it mean to be encouraged, to be edified? Well, we know that it takes God's word, but then we also need to realize, hey, what is it going to look like? What is our focus of edification? It's not just having a good time, you know, although that's going to be part of it. It's not just having a warm feeling, but that's going to be part of it. It's not just sometimes just feeling overwhelmed by the amazing glory of God and the fact that He would have given His Son for us. That's part of it. But putting it all together, it's about growing closer to Jesus and being more and more like Him in what we say, in what we think, and in what we do. And then the third essential to edification, based on Ephesians chapter 4, is that we're needed to look at the exercise. If you want to build body build, you got to do some exercise. It may be lifting weights, it may be running miles, it may be any number of things that you do in order to get more fit to handle the adversities of life. Bodybuilding involves the whole self. No, you don't just take your head and you study and you read and leave everything else alone. You don't just take your arms and exercise them. You don't just do your legs. You exercise the whole body. And the body here is not just a few select members. It's every member together. Building up the body involves every member. He mentions the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, whose purpose it is to equip the saints for the work of service. But who does the building up in this passage? I think everybody does. The evangelists, the pastors, and teachers as well. But if you notice, the wording of the passage indicates that every member is doing their part to build up the body of Christ. You and I together, working together, you have that responsibility to build up others in the body of Christ. And the fact of the matter is, we can't turn things around. The church is not, in some ways, you know, in some ways it is. Christ is the head of the church, and we are members of His body. But the church can't function with a human being, a preacher or elders or whoever, being at the top and everybody else down in the triangle until you get to the bottom, and they're just kind of hanging out. You might want to turn it around a little bit and realize that the cutting force of the church is its members. The members are the ones who are out there in society, in the world, have their friends, have their neighbors. The cutting edge is every member encouraging every other member. Every member presenting the gospel of Christ to those around them. And that the elders, as the under-shepherds, are leading as they are setting an example, and they are supporting the structure above them, as the preacher is as well. That we're working together for the cause of Christ. Every person is vitally important. If you look at somebody who's building up his body and you see, well, everything looks really strong except for his left arm looks like it hasn't had a workout in months, and everything else is really strong, you would say that arm needs some attention. It needs to be encouraged to work. And so you get it to work with everything else, and soon you have a well-rounded body for the glory of God. In verse 16, says that that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. What causes the body to grow? The proper working of each individual part. Every member is important. Every person in the body of Christ is essential to the functioning of the church. And when one member says, well, you know, I don't think I'm that important, I'll just kind of let it slide, let everybody else do it, that hurts the whole body. As surely as it would if you were thinking in terms of a sports analogy, and you're thinking about, here's my favorite football team. You got 11 guys out there, one of them is kicking the ball. They all can't kick the ball, but one of them kicks it off. And the ball goes down the field, and everybody's running down there to make the tackle. And here's one fellow just standing out there. Well, I think they can handle it okay. Well, you know, the coach would have him on the bench so fast his head would swim. Why? Because it's a team sport, and everybody's going to be involved to do their best and to carry out their function. And that's the way it is with the church. We have the diet, the focus is Christ, and the exercise is involvement, where every member seeks to encourage every other member and carrying out the work. It's not like you come to church and say, well, okay, I'm here, edify me. I mean, that's a sure way of going away disappointed, by the way. But if you come to church and you come to worship and be with God's people and you say, I am here to find somebody I can encourage, and you'll encourage them, and they'll go away feeling encouraged, and so will you because of what you've done. You can't say, okay, here I am, edify me. In Hebrews 10, verse 24, the Bible says this, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That statement is written to all of us, and it's one of those let us statements. Let us do this. It's not just when you come to worship, but it's even beyond that, in everyday life, thinking about, considering, how can I encourage my brother or sister in Christ? Sometimes you think in terms of the whole church, but you don't ever get down to focusing on one person. It's kind of like somebody told me, if you shoot at a flock of ducks or whatever, and you shoot at the whole flock, you're going to miss all of them. But if you pick out one and shoot at it, you're more likely to hit it. So in reference to that, we need to be praying about things and thinking about each other and saying, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to do something to encourage you, and then set about doing that. That's just one aspect of the church's mission. And you're doing a great job in so many ways. And there's so much encouragement being offered one to another. That's one of the main things that attracts people to the body of Christ. Just keep it up and double your efforts to focus on Jesus. If we were to look at the church in a spiritual mirror, what would we see? That would be a question that each of us would ask. In our own lives, would we be a part of encouraging others? Would we see in the church a strong and vigorous congregation? Or would we see bits and pieces with strength and others lacking that strength? As we look in the mirror, do we see the image of Christ in the way we treat one another, in the way we act, in the way we think? Do we have the faith to trust in God? In His Word. As we look in the mirror, do we see a spiritual body that is growing and pleasing God and growing in the likeness of Jesus and fulfilling its mission? Or do we see some needs that need to be filled and some people that need to be strengthened and to fit together more completely as the body of Christ? These are questions that we need to ask. And I hope that as we think about these things, you realize that we have the infinite resources of God Himself at our disposal. We just simply need to trust in Him. It's by faith that we do our part in receiving the grace that God extends to us. If you need the prayers of the church, or you need to become a member of the Lord's church, to come into Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism, we'll be singing a song. If we can help, we invite you to come, even now as we stand and as we sing.